Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. I hope you all celebrated the 4th of July magnificently yesterday. It was an important day for our town, our community, and our country to celebrate the 250th birth of our nation, anniversary of the birth of our nation. I, as you know, was not well enough to make it out to many of the events. Instead, I did a movie marathon, most of which was Rocky, so as you see me stumbling about the altar today, please know that in my head you hear bom, 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 bom. Okay. But I know we had wonderful dances, stalls, musicians. I think we had the Chiwis, right, was out there, yeah. I know Taylor Swift would have come, but she was getting married, so she was a little busy. But I think exactly because I wasn't able to go out there and was stuck online, I saw a number of things that saddened me. And you know that I'm resolutely apolitical in the pulpit, so this has nothing to do with politics. I just saw how many people did not consider yesterday something to celebrate. How many Americans in this nation viewed yesterday with cynicism and skepticism, with a sense of almost disgust. The worst that I saw was a tweet from someone saying he saw no reason to celebrate arbitrary lines on a map. I see no reason to celebrate arbitrary lines on a map either. So you won't catch me celebrating the anniversary of Vermilion Parish. But America is supposed to be something bigger than that. And as people kind of seethed in that rejection of any kind of greater purpose to America, it caused me great concern. Now, you might say, but that's what it means to be an American. You can express however you want to express. Look, let's take on the mindset of the British here for just a second. We're a nation of whiners and rebels, right? That's why we are what we are, and that's how we got free. But is it, though? Because that was another spirit that I saw where a lot of people said the way to celebrate the 4th of July is to just go wild and prove that you're free as an American to do whatever the heck you want and nobody can tell you what to do. Is that why we broke free? In fact, dear brothers and sisters, don't shout out the answer, but in your mind, as you were taught, why did we declare independence from Britain? And not we. At the time, there were 13 separate countries that joined together to declare independence from Britain. Why? What were you taught? What do you believe? What justified such a great act of rebellion from people who claim to follow the Prince of Peace that we hear about in the first reading? Because I was taught that it was due to taxation without representation. How many of you were taught that? Raise your hands. Yesterday I did something, I don't know if I've ever done it before. If I have done it before, I did it so long ago that I don't remember. Yesterday I read the Declaration of Independence. I sat and meditated on it in my chapel. You know what phrase does not appear in the Declaration of Independence? Taxation without representation. Unless I missed it, which is possible because you know I'm in a fog. What struck me, what shocked me about the Declaration was, on the one hand, the full list of the charges that the Founding Fathers made against the King of England. And on the other hand, how very reluctant they were to rebel. On the one hand, they didn't say taxation without representation. They said, we've been passing laws that have been sitting on your desk because you refused to sign them. They said, you've passed taxes without consent, namely, without any governing body, without any law, you've just started taxing us into the ground. They said, you refuse to let the governors govern their colonies. They said, you've kept a standing army of occupation among us even in peacetime. They said, you've let that army invade our homes and eat our food and take our property. They said, these are not the acts of a king, but of a tyrant. And they also said that one should not rebel against authority, that even when things are unjust, it is better to bear it than to break away. But that there comes a point where the tyranny is so supreme, where the injustice is so aggravated, that human nature itself, created by God with inalienable rights, demands revolt as the only moral option. This wasn't about tea, y'all. I mean, because have you seen the price of coffee lately? We should all be, you know, banging our drums and starting a war. It wasn't about tea. It was about tyranny. And it wasn't because nobody can tell us what to do. I promise you the Founding Fathers thought they could tell everybody else what to do. That's why they made a constitution. It was about an appeal that had never been heard before, as far as I can tell, within human history. An appeal not to national boundaries, not to ethnicity, not to tradition, not to past kings, not to religious figures, an appeal to the rights of human nature itself, and said, humans have rights, and this has gone too far. It was an appeal for the rule of law, not the rule of the mob. Their problem with the king wasn't that he made too many laws, their problem with the king was that he wasn't keeping the laws. And I looked at that document and I thought about that, and I thought about, like, myself and people in my generation and younger whose love for America is a little tongue-in-cheek and has a lot more to do with Ron Swanson than George Washington, right? And I thought, man, how could anybody read this and not be inspired? But also, how could anybody read this and not feel a little ashamed that we don't measure up to the maturity, the nobility, the principle of the men who fought for this document, who fought for human rights? Another thing that I did yesterday was listen part of Frederick Douglass's speech on the 4th of July. If you're not familiar with it, it is another incredible work, a little bit longer than the Declaration of Independence. The title of the speech is, What is the 4th of July to the Slave? He was someone who grew up in the South as a slave. He was uneducated, illiterate. It was illegal to train him to write. He escaped. He educated himself, became probably the greatest orator in all of American letters. His writings are masterpieces of American literature. And they invited him to speak on the 4th of July, 76 years after the founding of our country. And his speech is magnificent. It's a little biting, but it's magnificent. Because he starts by talking about, and I really appreciate it, the man is an escaped slave and an abolitionist, and slavery was still going on. He had many reasons to just complain. He starts by talking about how great that day was. He starts by saying, this is a day that demands celebration by every human being of goodwill. This is a day of declaration of liberty. And we look at it today and we think, obviously, this is what we should do. But back then, nobody thought it was what they should do. This was a shocking thing. And for your forefathers, these men of principle who put their own nation above their private goods, these men we should honor and revere and celebrate, absolutely. And where are these men today? He said, I fear we run the risk of the Jews in the gospel who boast of having Abraham as their father. And then Jesus saying, if Abraham is your father, then do the works of Abraham. That it is not enough to celebrate the great deeds of the past if we don't strive to live up to them in the present. And he said, how can we celebrate liberty when so many are enslaved? How can you say that freedom has been given to every man when numerous men are in chains? And he said, how can you not know that God, who is eternal, is always in the present, and that he expects in this present moment the same resolve for liberty as the forefathers that we celebrated? And I think of that too. What good is it to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our country if we do not hear the words of Jesus, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest? If we do not look upon the tyranny that our forefathers fought for a reason, which was human dignity. If we don't stand up today for the dignity of every human being, the ineradicable dignity of every human being, from the moment of conception till natural death. If we don't strive and struggle and even fight to preserve that ineradicable treasure that God has placed in the heart of every human person by making us in his image and likeness, then what is the point of celebrating 250 years? Because, dear brothers and sisters, America is not a set of lines on a map. America is not a good economy or fireworks or hamburgers or baseball. America is not merely military flyovers or Top Gun or celebrating victory over the Soviet Union. America deserves to be celebrated because America is, first of all, an idea. An idea founded on the natural law of God, an idea that no tyranny should have rights because every human person has dignity, an idea that says we give in neither to the mob nor to the tyrant, but to love for our fellow man, an idea of defense of the nobility of humanity itself. That's what our forefathers fought for. That's what they call us to live up to. That's what Japan and France and countries around the world celebrated yesterday, as many in our country sought. That's what God calls our nation to be. And that's what we should commit ourselves to 250 years on. God bless you all.